You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. I'm joined by, of course, Trish McFarland. Trish, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We will not share any of the details of some of the pre-show issues that have been going on my end. Just leave it as I'm fantastic. And I'll tell you why, Trish.
Why is that?
We're recording this on a Monday. It's right after the Super Bowl, if anyone really cares. Monday after the Super Bowl. It's February, and it is a remarkably sunny and warm day in Western New York, where I am today, where I live, it approaching 60 degrees. As soon as this podcast is finished recording, Trish, I'm going outside. How's that sound?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So for anyone who listens to the show regularly, they would know that this time of year, it's always, I think, gray, snowy, cold in your area, right? So this is Absolutely. Really unique, it sounds like.
Yes,
yeah. Well, I'm St. Louis. In St. Louis, we were at 0 degrees with, you know, negative wind chills the other day. And then today it's a high of 65. So it's wonderful.
You have to love that. Well, that's fantastic. So let's both go outside maybe after the show's over. So, hey, quick things. HR Happy Hour Podcast Network shows up. Everything's going great. Shows are coming fast and furious. I don't want to tell you how many we're recording this week, but it's a bunch. So loads of great stuff coming up on the network. Yeah, if you do have an idea for a topic, a guest, you want to come on the show, you want to replace me as the host maybe, you can tweet us at HR Happy Hour or send us an email, Steve or Trish at h3hr.com. And don't forget, the HR Happy Hour show is also on the Alexa device. To add the show to your Echo device's flash briefing, just search for the HR Happy Hour skill in your Alexa app. Finally, for me, Trish, last one, HR Tech Conference tickets are on sale. www.hrtechconference.com. Use my code STEVE300 for $300 off your registration. That's all my announcements, Trish. Anything you want to add before we get on with the show?
No, just that people need to stay tuned. We are going to schedule our annual Oscar preview show, and that'll be coming up here in the next 2 weeks, right? Because in 3 weeks is the big event. So how are you, without giving anything away, how are you doing on the Best Picture movie viewing? I know we have 8 total to see. Have you seen them all yet?
Right. I've seen 7 of the 8. So I've been pretty good.
Ooh, and I'll catch
number 8 soon. Oh, really? Okay. Good.
I've only seen 6 of the 8. So I think, I've got 2 to go. Well, my thing too is I always watch them with one or both of my kids. So I think the older they get, now that they're, you know, in middle teenage years, it's definitely a lot harder to schedule around their sports and their interest, I guess, for each one. So I think that's really it. So the last two will probably be, just my daughter and I. But yeah, the times when I've had a few minutes to where I could, you know, maybe go see one, she's not with me or she's busy or whatever. So I've been like putting them off a little bit, but I'm excited. Yeah. I want to see the last two and be ready.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I was sitting in the, by myself in the theater with like 4 other people one afternoon, like a week and a half ago, and I had a little time watching one of them. So I get what you mean. And for new listeners to the show, right, or maybe haven't heard the Oscar show, it's one of the favorite ones we do each year. We've been doing 3 or 4 in a row, years in a row we've done them, and they're super fun. So I'm really looking forward to that. So, hey, I'm also looking forward to today's show. Oddly enough, Trish, we have a show.
I'm so excited.
We are actually, we're doing a show right now, and we are doing a show about a really important topic, which is helping moms get back to work after becoming moms. And Trish, you can speak to this certainly as a mom, but I've heard about it. So I would love to introduce our guest, who is Colleen Curtis from The Mom Project, which we're going to learn about here in a second. Colleen spent 9 years at Yelp, where she most recently served as the VP of International Community and Marketing, overseeing a multicultural team dedicated to delightful user experience and market expansion across 27 countries. I'm a huge Yelp user, by the way. I love Yelp. She's advised startup clients in the art of user communication and acquisition, community building and infrastructure, as well as international expansion of user communities and scaling internal culture. She brings deep executive level experience in M&A, integration, and growth of user communities, and is driven by products and solutions that bridge the gap between online and offline experiences for the greater good. Colleen Curtis from The Mom Project, welcome to the Happy Hour Show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
First of all, hadn't read the bio since I got it a couple of weeks ago. Yelp, I was on Yelp, I think, this morning, like for the fourth time in the last 24 hours. So whatever you did there, fantastic job, by the way.
Seems to work. Yeah, lots of users on Yelp. I spent the bulk of my career at Yelp. I joined, I think I was employee 50, and just was in for a wild ride, tons of growth, really got to dive into, you know, being a community manager and building community before that was really a thing. So it was a wonderful ride. I'm still a very heavy Yelp user myself, so.
I swear by it. Absolutely. So Colleen, now we're here not to talk about Yelp, although we love Yelp. Let's talk about The Mom Project and what's going on there. And let's just start real simple. Tell us about The Mom Project, what it is, how it got started, and what is this all about?
Sure. So The Mom Project was started about 3 years ago by our founder and CEO, Allison Robinson. So she had left Procter & Gamble for maternity leave with her first son. And while she was out, kind of stumbled upon this fact that 43% of highly skilled women will leave the workforce after having children. And so she wanted to really create a tangible solution that was going to start to tackle that. And how could we get the women who wanted to be back at work? And how could we support women at every career life stage that they were going through? So she created the Mom Project, and it is a marketplace that connects highly skilled women with extremely great companies that need, you know, great talent. So we're in, as you guys know very well, we're in a labor shortage, very tight labor market, very low unemployment. And so we're seeing a lot of really great traction for employers that are willing to sort of overlook a gap in the resume. And so we really help women bridge back into the workforce, but also just access really highly professionalized opportunities that might be more flexible. So project-based work, contractor work, you know, in a variety of ways to make sure that we can kind of broker that relationship between companies and mom.
Great. Colleen, and so just for folks who are listening, when did the Mom Project get started? A couple of years ago? Is this a long time thing? Is this a more relatively recent thing?
She started in 2016.
Okay. Oh, okay. So really, really new and kind of responding to, right. And the labor market's only been getting tighter and tighter ever since then. Right. And remains incredibly tight for employers for sure. Yeah.
It has. And, you know, I think coupled with this strong push for equal pay and better parental leave benefits and, you know, really tackling some of these structural workplace elements that, you know, really do hold women back. The timing of the Mom Project was really great to come in and really be offering companies a tangible solution because, you know, you've probably heard a lot of buzz around, you know, reaching gender parity by 2020. That's a year from now. So, you know, if companies are really going to achieve those diversity hiring goals, they're going to have to start making tangible investments and partnerships with, you know, companies like the Mom Project and others who are able to deliver candidates at scale.
I, you know what? I think it's so exciting. When I even read the show notes that we were going to do this show, I was really almost envious because when I think back to having my kids, which really wasn't that long ago, it was 15 years ago, and I was at a big four public accounting firm, and it was definitely a concern. I remember, you know, even though I know they would have been probably at that time, they would have been very advanced, and of course, making sure that women were, you know, kept in the workforce or brought back in quickly, but that was definitely a fear. And I think that, you know, to see it finally really being something that's talked about, and it must just take a little bit of that anxiety away from, you know, new and expecting mothers who are trying to figure out, well, what do I do? Because I sort of felt like I never had the option to leave work and just raise the children. And even though that's what I really would have wanted to do that. Like, again, I was a very career-minded person. I would have never thought that about myself, but like literally the split second that I had my kids, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to stay home. You know, yeah. So it's a weird thing. You're so emotional and sometimes you feel like you don't have anyone to go to. So I just love this whole idea about having companies that you're sort of having those discussions almost for these women. And when mm-hmm. you make that match, it just really opens up a conversation that definitely 15 years ago just wasn't really there for women. So what kind of response are you getting from these women? I mean, are they just so grateful? And
the women, I mean, we've had such a strong response from the women. So we just hit 100,000 women that are on the platform.
Wow.
I mean, people, this mission, if you have kids or you're thinking about having kids or you even know someone with kids, and you're, you know, trying to juggle a career, this really resonates with people at a visceral level. So even if you've worked with a company who has been really family friendly, you want that for other people too. So we see women coming to the platform who aren't even actively looking for jobs, but just are like, we're here for whatever you're doing because we want this to change and we want this to be better for all women. And so we've been so impressed and grateful for all the support on the mom side and then on the company side too, because, you know, our goal is that whether you're entering the interview process, whether you've left the workforce or not, so about 75% of the women on our platform actually work and 25% are what we would classify as potentially returning to work. And so we support both of those groups equally. And what we really think it boils down to is being able to bring your full self back to work. And so whether you're looking for a different company or a different setup, like, you know, like you were saying, where, hey, there was a split second where I might have wanted to stay home, but there could have been a really interesting, flexible opportunity where maybe you could have dialed back to 20 hours a week, still doing what you love, but able to be home more, and then bridge back into full time when your kids are older or whatever, you know, might fit what your preferences would be. And so I think where we are seeing so much really positive response from both the companies and the women is that we just remove that obstacle. It's not this awkward elephant in the room anymore to talk about that you have children or that you might want to have them. Because that's just, it's not realistic to not bring that to work, right? Like, of course you have kids and that makes you who you are. And that can make you a really great employee or a really great contractor. And so we find that women who are going into interview just have a lot more confidence in talking about their skill set when they're not worried about explaining away a gap or hiding the fact that they have children, because nobody wants to do that.
Hey, Colleen, can we just take one little step back and talk a little bit about just maybe we'll start. There's two sides to this, right? There's the employers as well as the candidates or the returners to work. But maybe let's start with the company side of this, the employer side. How does an employer kind of engage with you guys and get started? And what is it that they're doing on that side of the equation?
Yeah, so we work with all sizes of companies. So everything from, you know, a very small company with a few employees all the way up to the huge enterprise companies, AT&T, Georgia Pacific, you know, very, very large workforces. And so the first step is just to kind of get an introduction to the Mom Project and, you know, whoever the stakeholder is internally. So whether it's the head of HR, the VP of talent acquisition, you know, if it's a small business, it might be the CEO, the owner, and start a conversation around what you're looking for. So we have a couple different kinds of programs. So we have, you know, per hire. So if you're a CEO and you have a small marketing organization, you want to hire a digital freelancer to come help augment your strategy, you're able to hire through the platform, and it's very self-serve. If you're an enterprise and you, let's say, wow, I'm an employer who is now giving 6 months of paid parental leave, I love it, but now I'm having to backfill for all these parental leaves that are happening. You know, we'll sign on and do a program where, you know, you pay an upfront fee and then you're able to dip into our resources and our talent managers to backfill all of your maternity leaves for the year. So we call that a maternity shift program. And so there's some specialized programs. Yeah. And then there's some one-off. So it's like, hey, I just, you know, I'm a small, medium business. I want to make sure, you know, I'm getting the best talent. And so we're able to provide, you know, the top tier candidates that would fit for that job description. And then it's a 20% placement fee.
Now for the candidates, Colleen, the moms, the returners to work, sort of what's that process like? Because, you know, there's lots of places on the internet to look for jobs and find jobs, apply to jobs, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a unique group of people we're talking about, a specific kind of candidate profile. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about about the candidates, sort of who they are, and interestingly, like how you're finding them, like how are you getting them to come to the Mom Project?
Absolutely. I mean, by far our biggest driver is word of mouth now. And so, which, you know, we're super excited about, because people are having such a great experience as candidates through the Mom Project. They're willing to tell their friends and colleagues and coworkers that there's a better way out there. And so the way we differentiate from a job board is really that our opportunities are typically exclusive. They're highly curated to be only with companies that are family friendly. There's a wide breadth, right? So some moms who are returning to work, you know, maybe they came out of an enterprise company and that's where they really want to go back to. Enterprise can be great for stability and, you know, lots of opportunity across different professionalized functions. And some are like, hey, I want to go into something that's more flexible, more remote, you know, something like, oh, okay, a startup or a nonprofit or something that's a little smaller, because I know that that's going to afford me the flexibility I need at this stage of my life. And so from a candidate perspective, we kind of have everything across the board. And what we've heard back from the moms is you can't find this type of job anywhere else.
Okay.
With the added kind of foundation of, I know that anytime I apply for this, that they know that they're going to be talking to a mom. And so they want the moms. And so that just sets up a whole different dynamic when we start down the road of interviewing and vetting candidates. It's just off the table, right? So we're just talking about skills and ability. We're no longer talking about, you know, any of this awkward, oh, you've been out of the workforce for 2 years. What does that mean? Oh, you're not going to get an interview. It means you were taking care of your kids. And so, yeah, so from a candidate perspective, I think having that removed from your psyche and being supported through that interview process, and then the ability to kind of access these really interesting, cool jobs that, you know, that you can't really find anywhere else. I think that's kind of the differentiator right now.
Thanks, Colleen. Quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. I am joined by Trish McFarland, of course, and our guest is Colleen Curtis from The Mom Project, talking about what they're doing to help companies as well as candidates and, I guess, for lack of a better word, moms, make those right career connections and get back to work and work in more flexible ways and more family-friendly ways. And I don't know if I can ask this, but I'm going to ask this. I'll throw it out there because I feel like I know what the answer is. Are moms like better? Are moms better at stuff like than the rest of us?
Yes, I know that, the answer is yes.
I know they're better podcast hosts. I know that for sure. But all kidding aside, though, I mean, my suspicion is, boy, super organized, you know, ready to take on, no tolerance for wasting time, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe Colleen or Trish too. I mean, what's the advantage here of getting moms, you know, engaged as workers?
Sure. Trish, do you want to take the first go at that?
You know what? I don't know if it's a matter of being better, but I will say, I mean, we were kind of joking at the top of the show about, you know, multitasking and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, yes, moms have tend maybe to have a knack for being really good at multitasking, right? Because especially, you know, you've got the demands of a baby, maybe you have other children, or in my case, two babies at the same time, you know, whatever it is, you still have to make everything else happen, right? And it's not to me about, you know, feeling like, well, I don't want to do, you know, housework or other, you know, other things that typically fall to sort of the person in the female role, but it just sort of does, right? That's just kind of how our culture works. So
yeah.
While you can certainly have, you know, have a very supportive spouse or significant other or whatnot, it's just a matter of you do maybe adapt a little differently, I think. And women, at least every mom I know, they're the kind of people that just have to get it done. So I see that in the women who have worked for me, and in myself and in my peers who are moms, you find a way to get things done. It's they don't usually say no. Now that can also be bad, and maybe we should talk about that later, but you know, you can almost, moms will almost wear themselves out at work to try and still produce the best quality work, but yet also trying to still mentally have be in the mode of being a mom. I kind of joke, actually, for me, I usually try and focus 100% on being a worker when I'm working and 100% on my children when I'm with them. That's very hard to do, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I also take a page from that playbook. So I have a 7-month-old and a 5-year-old, and I work full-time at the Mom Project. I have never been as efficient as I have been since having my kids. And so I get a lot done from 8:30 to 5:45. And then I do try to really dial back when I'm thinking about work when I'm at home, because I feel that that gives me the right break from work. And then being at work gives me the right break from my kids. We were stuck in the polar vortex last week, so work felt like a vacation. And so, but going back to your original question, which is so interesting, like, are moms better? And I think it's not a question of better, right? It's just as good, right? So we've been battling this kind of mom penalty or mom bias or pregnancy bias. And so it's really not that they're better, but it's just, they're just as good. And that's really what we're trying to go for. Like, we want an equitable workforce. Companies want equitable workforces. They want to retain women. They want to create programs that show they're supporting women. And this is one of the ways they do it. And it's shown that doing those things affects the bottom line. And so moms are obviously a big part of that equation. And so learning how, you know, to better support moms in the workplace, while it's a value all in itself and very altruistic, it impacts the bottom line. It's just good for business. And so, yeah. And we just, you know, on our platform, that we're looking at women 8 to 10 years of experience, 40% with master's degrees and above. These are really highly qualified women who came out of, you know, high demand roles, and for whatever reason, you know, based on their own work-life preferences, had to take a step back. So figuring out how to tap into that resource, it can be hugely powerful to drive companies forward. And so we've seen that already starting to take shape. And so yeah, I think, you know, what Trish said too, are, you know, very, very focused while at work, and really able to get the job done and multitask. Although sometimes I would say I don't do that entirely well. but just striving for equitable as opposed to, you know, better than.
Colleen, I have a quick question, sort of relating back to something that you mentioned earlier, when, you know, years ago, or even in recent years, maybe, you know, women sometimes feel like we have to either maybe hide the fact that we have children, or, you know, want children, whatever the case may be. Are you seeing that the women that you're working with in the Mom Project are feeling, I guess, better about sort of being very vocal about maybe some of those skills they have developed in being a mom? Because sometimes, depending on when you become a mom, you know, I always think back to, I was probably not very good at prioritization before I had children. Now that was probably a function of my age and just, you know, where I was in life, but, you know, being in my 20s, are you finding though that you're able to help women articulate better some of those skills? Because I know I've had sort of one-off discussions with some of my mom friends who have maybe left working for a few years, and then they come to me like, oh, can you help me? You know, I don't really have any skills in the last 5 years. I'm like, no, you're organizing, you know, sports totally. And pickups. And they, you know, are you seeing sort of that same thing on a bigger scale with these women? Are they feeling more comfortable in sort of using or verbalizing the skills they've developed as a mom?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, some of the guidance we try to give moms is to obviously stay relevant within whatever industry that you're really in. So whether that's refreshing your skills, and so those are tangible, right? And then really owning your career break. So being able to speak.
Oh, I like that.
About, yes, I took 2 years off and I stayed home with my young children and I was able to do X, Y, and Z and become great at prioritizing. And I think because they know they're interviewing through the Mom Project, and my hope is that even if they're interviewing without the Mom Project somewhere else, they're really owning that confidently. Because I think it's a lot on how we speak about it. And then also being able to map our prior experience. So whether we came out of, you know, big consulting or enterprise or whatever we were doing pre-break, to map those skills to current trends. And then also marry together, like, and in the last 2 years, you know, I did all of these things that I think are going to lend themselves well to what you need as a company. And so a lot of it is the confidence to speak about it and to speak about it comfortably in a way that flows, right? So not explaining it away or making it feel like you're hiding it. And so I think we are seeing a shift in that. So employers are more willing to bridge that conversation with people, right? Before it was just like kind of don't ask, don't tell, like
right, don't ask, right. No, that's it.
Right? It's just like people, these are humans, right? It's called human resources. It's called human capital. And so humans have very specific needs. And one of those needs is being able to talk about their story and how it relates to how they're going to perform at a job. And discounting children would be a huge disservice, because this is something where, you know, they've been in the trenches raising kids, and this is how it's going to make them, you know, even better when they want to come back to work. So I think, yes, we're seeing a really great shift. I know even in my personal life, I mean, I interviewed at the Mom Project 8 months pregnant, and people were asking me if I was going to tell them I was pregnant. I don't know if anyone's ever seen an 8 months pregnant person before, but I was like, pretty sure they're going to know. And, you know, it's like night and day from when, you know, I first had my first baby, and I was so worried to tell my boss, even though it was a bit unfounded. And then coming in my second one being like, well, you know, it's either going to work out and they're going to have all of me and know all of my circumstances, or it's not. And then I need to go find someone that will. And so I think with the labor market being the way it is, you know, women are in the driver's seat a little bit more too. And so it gives a little bit more ability to talk about it with confidence as well.
I love that.
That's a great story, Colleen. And I just want to just add one other thing. Appreciate you, Colleen, as well as you too, Trish. Not flat out say that moms are better. Pitched that as the question, and I think we all know the real answer, but I appreciate you not really answering, so thank you. But totally. Hey Colleen, one last question before we let you go, which is, I want you to tell us about, and our listeners about, something called the Women's Work Initiative, and how this program, what is it, and how does this fit in with the overall kind of Mom Project and the goals of the Mom Project? I'd love for you to tell us about that.
So this Women's Work Initiative, which we're launching very soon, was built off of a flagship program we did in Atlanta over the summer called the Atlanta Women's Work Initiative. We partnered with the mayor's office to bring 50 women back to work in Atlanta. And it went so well, and we had such incredible feedback from our partners. So that was Georgia-Pacific, AT&T, Voya, and a few others, that we decided to roll it out and make it much bigger this year. So the Women's Work Initiative, we're currently booking partners, so we haven't released them yet. But we'll be working with partners to bring women back to work and increase female workforce participation. So this is just a way for companies to sign on as a partner and get the full exposure of working with the Mom Project and the talent and delivery and these sort of internal programs that we'll be supplying to employers about retaining women and, you know, consulting with them on, you know, how they're bridging people back to work and, you know, all these kind of more high touch programs that we'll be developing on behalf of these partners. And so it's pretty exciting. We're hoping that this is going to make a big splash with regards to kind of getting more and more women back to work and really being able to impact more and more companies. So We'll make sure to send along as soon as we have more details.
Yep, and we'll share those, of course, in the show notes as well as anything. We'd love to keep informed about what goes on with this. This is really interesting, and piqued my interest when I heard about this. So I was glad we were able to get some time with you today, Colleen, to talk about the Mom Project and everything that's going on there. So thank you very, very much for joining us.
Yeah, and thank you guys so much for having me. It's something, you know, everyone that works internally here at the Mom Project feels really passionately about. And, you know, going back to our earlier conversation about Yelp, it was so amazing to work building communities where I really identified with the target audience. And I feel really blessed that I get to do that again and really work on behalf of working moms. So thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Our pleasure. The website is www.themomproject.com. We will share that, of course, in the show notes as well. And fantastic stuff. I'm really, I was glad we were able to do this. Trish, good stuff. In sunshine, a sunshiny day, a good story, a real positive theme, a message. I didn't screw up too badly, hopefully. So all in all, pretty good.
No, it's really good. And I love doing shows like this because it's something really tangible and inspiring. And it's a really good thing for people to look into, whether it's to help their own career and their own sanity as a mom, or whether it's, you know, you're the dad or the partner or the boyfriend or whatever of someone who could really use the, you know, this resource and to know about it. So I'm excited to share this show
and
out.
For the
it's
organizations.
Really thank you, Colleen. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. For the organizations that need to tap into this talent pool. So it's great all the way around. So awesome stuff. So great. Okay. That's it, Trisha. I think we're wrapped. I want to remind everybody to subscribe to the HR Happy Hour, wherever you get your podcast, just search for HR Happy Hour. Tell a friend, tell your boss, tell your mom maybe even about the show. And we really appreciate it. For Trish McFarlane, our guest, Colleen Curtis, my name is Steve Bose. Thank you so much for listening to the HR Happy Hour show today. We will see you next time. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.